Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. First of all, the good martini is that, Jim, we had a really good year as conservatives in 2010, and that means we're playing a lot of defense in the 2016 Senate elections. Republicans don't have that many pickup opportunities to offset any potential lost seats next year, but one that definitely looks bright for us is Nevada. Harry Reid is finally retiring. Yesterday, the number one choice of Republicans announced he is going to seek that seat. That is Congressman Joe Heck. He is a doctor. He's a brigadier general in the U.S. Army. And while he does not have the greatest ACU score, he is strong on a number of key issues, including national defense, right to life, and a number of issues that conservatives certainly care about a lot. So it gives the Republicans and conservatives a leg up for a seat that for three decades has been held by someone rather odious to us.
We're really hoping that starting in 2017, Greg, you and I get to say something like, way to go, Nevada, way to go, and really mean it, instead of, you know, our sarcastic, as bad as Sharon Angle was, how bad would she have been compared to the freak show that Harry Reid has been this last couple of years? Joe Heck, you know, I'm sure there are some conservatives who look at his voting record and say he's not quite as conservative as they would like. Seems to be doing pretty well in his district, and, you know, we should have a realistic perspective on Nevada. It's not a deep red state, and we should not have illusions that this is going to be an easy race under any circumstances. But he's a solid candidate, a solid congressman, done a pretty decent job representing his constituents. Should be pretty good for fundraising. I know there are a lot of Republicans who are kind of hoping they get Governor Sandoval to get in there. And no one should say, oh, this is an automatic pickup for the GOP, but this is a pretty good one. We've got a good shot here, and you know, in a cycle where obviously the presidential race is going to be sucking up a lot of money and time and resources and energy, you got to pick, you know, make the most of your opportunities. And the GOP looks like they're going to have a decent shot on this one.
On to the bad martini now, Jim. And the Republican Party is currently embroiled in a controversy that is not making the party look all that great. And surprise, surprise, less than a month after getting into the race, Donald Trump is at the epicenter of this. And it actually stems from comments he made as he joined the race. And for those who don't remember, here are some of those comments.
They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting.
It took a few days for those comments to really become fodder for boycotts and the ending of contracts with people like NBC and Macy's, and even for other Republicans to get in on the criticism. Here's what Jeb Bush had to say.
He's doing this to inflame and to incite and to get to draw attention, which seems to be his organizing principle of his campaign. And he doesn't represent the Republican Party or its values.
Here's Rick Perry.
To paint with that broad a brush that Donald Trump did is, I mean, he's going to have to defend those remarks. I never will, and I will stand up and say that those are offensive.
Charles Krauthammer last night on Special Report.
These are eruptions, barstool eruptions. And the pity is this. This is the strongest field of Republican candidates in 35 years. You could pick a dozen of them at random and have the strongest cabinet America's had in our lifetime. And instead, all our time is spent discussing this rodeo clown.
But at the same time, Trump is getting better numbers in some of the key early states. And, of course, the illegal alien who murdered the woman in San Francisco is adding fuel to this story. And here's how Trump responded on Monday.
We have many cases like this. You know, nobody wants to talk about it. It seems like I'm sort of the whipping post because I bring it up. And I don't understand whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative. Why wouldn't you talk about a problem? There's tremendous crime, and illegal immigration is just incredible. And the crime is raging. It's raging, and it's violent. And people don't want to even talk about it. And if you talk about it, you're a racist.
So, Jim, obviously there's a big problem here. Donald Trump is a rodeo clown and probably is hurting the party. But a lot of people right out there right now feel passionately about this issue, and they don't see anybody besides him really speaking this strongly on it.
Yeah, this really is kind of the worst of all possible worlds, because if he were being kind of bombastic and over the top and making himself into kind of a freak over an unimportant issue, it would be much easier to ignore. But this really is an important issue. And I think that, you know, like when you hear something about what happened in San Francisco, it's not just a terrible tragedy. It was a very preventable outrage. And the fact that this guy had been deported five times and kept on coming back here, the sanctuary city's policy, whatever its you know, allegedly noble intentions, this guy knew how to exploit it. We deserve to have a serious discussion of that and be able to say to cities like San Francisco, whatever you wanted to do, whatever you make a statement about immigration policy or be warm and welcoming and, you know, all this hearts and flowers, kumbaya stuff. The effect of your policy is to let criminals know they can come to your city and not fear deportation. And is that really a good policy? Does that really work well for you? Is that really protecting your citizens? We should be able to have that conversation. But because Trump is who he is, and because he speaks the way he does, a lot, he makes it much easier for the left to say, don't you think Donald Trump is racist? When the NSA information came out, it very quickly turned into Edward Snowden, hero or traitor. And it became a personality-based issue. It became very much a story about an individual. And what do you, reader or listener or viewer, think about this person? That's, you know, obviously an easy way to summarize the story. It turns it binary. It turns it into a cable news talking head debates, you know, format very easily. But I think the issue is a little more complicated than that, a little more bigger than that. And maybe he's a traitor for what he did to national security. And maybe he's a hero for what he's done to expose what the NSA was doing secretly. In the case of Trump, look, maybe he's a buffoon, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's wrong on these issues. And it really kind of feels like a good, important issue has turned into, there go the Republicans being racist again. And the real issues get ignored here.
It certainly is a problem. And as Republicans try to distance themselves from Trump, it almost starts to blur the line with some of the more liberal arguments about if you bring this up at all, well, you're hateful and you're racist. And the Republicans need to get back in there and explain how, without being as bombastic as Trump, the rule of law and making sure that the border is secure is a huge priority. And I haven't heard a lot of them do that yet, and they need to.
Now, as I said, there's got to be some happy medium somewhere between sanctuary cities and all Mexican illegal immigrants are rapists.
Right.
Right. Somewhere in between, there's got to be some sort of way, you know, some sort of better policy and really a better debate than this, you know, than what we're getting here. That basically you're either a defender of Trump or you're okay with this policy. And, you know, what if we don't like either one of them?
Yeah, why can't we have a little nuance here? So we're going to have 16 candidates. We should be able to have a little nuance here. All right, on to the bad martini now. And pivot to ISIS was the theme of the day at the Pentagon yesterday as the president met with his defense secretary and top military officials. He came to the podium late in the afternoon and talked about how, just as he said last year, this will not be solved easily. ISIS is nimble and they're tough to beat. And then he talked about how ultimately they will not and will be defeated.
This broader challenge of countering violent extremism is not simply a military effort. Ideologies are not defeated with guns. They're defeated by better ideas, a more attractive and more compelling vision. So the United States will continue to do our part by working with partners to counter ISIL's hateful propaganda, especially online. We'll constantly reaffirm through words and deeds that we will never be at war with Islam. We're fighting terrorists who distort Islam and whose victims are mostly Muslims.
So, Jim, a lot of things to be upset about there. First of all, no mention even in passing at the Christians and Yazidis being butchered at the hands of ISIS. But once again, it's kind of like the last story. Can't we have both? Can't we kill them and engage in the war of ideas?
You know, it was a very frustrating speech for a lot of us yesterday. High among them. Greg, you're getting up there in years the way I am.
Right.
Don't you remember when he was denouncing Bush for an endless war on terror?
Yes.
I went back, Morning Jolt, went back and looked. He did use the term endless war. And now he's letting us know it's a generational struggle. So it only took him, what, 7 years into his presidency to realize that you can't defeat Islamist terror overnight? Oh, Bush has taken forever to do this. Oh, my goodness. You know, we need to get beyond this. Now, since then, he has seen just how bad Islamist terror is, both in the form of Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these other, you know, splinter groups and fringe groups. His entire perspective of Bush and the war on terror back in 2007, 2008 looks, as we were contending at the time, ludicrously naive. And the other thing, you know, Ala Pundit had a really good point where he talks about that this is a generational struggle. It's going to take a really long time. And really, ultimately, it's a battle of ideas. And our ideas are better than ideas. Sure, our ideas are better than their ideas. But the better ideas don't always win. Obama is very fond of saying the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice, or our opponents are on the wrong side of history. Al Pundit had the great memory. He said they look back to pictures of Afghanistan and Iran in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And you see women walking around without headscarves and without the hijab and without burqas. And they, you know, they were much more, quote unquote, modern societies back then. That things in those countries have regressed. And if you're an Iranian woman or an Afghan woman, history isn't moving in your direction. Things are not getting better. And I think this really is a front and center kind of punch to the face to the progressive worldview, that they really believe, no, things do get better. It's just the way history goes. Things have to go that way. And I think maybe one of the heart of us as conservatives, we look at everything about Western civilization and we see it as fragile, and we see it as something that is vulnerable and something that isn't guaranteed to be here forever and something that needs to be taken, conserved, right? We want to keep it. It's actually we're ultimately a preservationist movement. We are about preserving Western civilization. And also in the process, Greg, we're about preserving ourselves, yes, since there are people who want to kill us. And the president just seems oblivious to this. And this whole long sweeping tide of history and all that kind of stuff. He just comes across as just ludicrously naive and somebody who really, like, nothing about this presidency has felt like a wartime presidency. Even on the local news last night, they said it was a rare presidential visit to the Pentagon. Now, I know the president's not going to go to the Pentagon every single day. But again, there are long stretches where, we're arguing about Jenner or the Confederate flag or something. You can forget that we're a country at war. And I think that's the way this administration likes it. And I think that kind of indicates our lack of seriousness when it comes to addressing the threat from ISIS.
Yeah, absolutely. And, interesting that he says you don't defeat ideas with guns. There used to be a bumper sticker taped to our fridge here at Radio America that said, except for ending slavery and fascism, war never solved anything.
Yeah. it wasn't just our ideas that have defeated America's enemies over the years. Even if the president really says, judge us by that standard, not by that old-fashioned, stodgy military victory standard, I don't really think we're doing that much better on that. We're now coming up on 14 years since 9/11. I believe next year will be 15 years. I believe today is the 10-year anniversary of the London bombing.
Correct.
Have we really discredited jihadism? There was a moment during the Arab Spring where it was kind of, this, you can at least make the argument, okay, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden were not really part of the debate in the Arab world. It seemed like maybe the Arab world, for all of its problems, had moved past violent Al-Qaeda jihadism as their preferred route to building a better world. And now I don't think that's the case at all. And in fact, if anything, we're really moving backwards. Terrorists and terror groups and Al-Qaeda and ISIS and groups like that have more territory in places like Yemen and Syria and Iraq, North Africa, Libya. They're gaining territory, not losing it. And everything about yesterday seemed like just kind of whistling past the graveyard.
Jim, we'll leave it there for today and talk to you again tomorrow.
Way to go, America. Way to go.
Exactly.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.